Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and so in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife will the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God, not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. The gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Jesus speaks to a group of religious folk that we perhaps don't know that much about, called the Sadducees. Sadducees were a group of religious folk who believed that the only scriptures that were valid were the books of Moses, first five books of the Bible, in which there is no talk about eternal life. For them, eternity came through the promise of your progeny. So we speak of the angels saying to Abraham and Sarah that your descendants will be as the stars in the sky. Eternal life wasn't a matter of being resurrected from the dead for them, but rather of your family living on through progeny. Friends in Christ, grace and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I was a new pastor, and I guess I should have known better, but I didn't. And I made a mistake one Sunday morning when an angry and animated matriarch of the congregation approached me during the coffee hour with her best, "I am angry and you'd better listen to me" voice. She said, "Pastor, the children are taking two cookies. Do something." Without thinking, my response was, "Is that a problem?" Her eyes got big and then narrowed. "Well," she said as she turned on her heels and stomped away. Another time I made a phone call to a member I did not know who had not been to church in some time, and I wanted to know if she still wanted to be on the rolls, to be a part of the congregation, and she said, "No, I don't." "May I ask if there was some problem?" She said, "Yes. I brought a crock pot to the potluck and somebody stole my lid." Not wanting to lose a member on account of a lid of a crock pot, I said that I would be happy to offer to buy her a new crock pot. "No thanks," and she slammed the phone down. In our scripture lesson this morning from Luke, it would seem that we have a habit of making small stuff into big stuff, at least amongst us church folks, and probably throughout community relationships as well. These Sadducees, one of the powerful parties in the Jewish religious hierarchy, were trying to trap Jesus by saying some sort of heretical statement, asking him a question about marriage and resurrection. One of the seven brothers, we heard the story, married a woman, had no children, he died, as was often the custom, to care for the widow. The next brother would marry her. Well, they went one through another through the seven brothers, and there were no children. There was no eternal life. The family wasn't going to continue. So then comes the perplexing question for Jesus. In heaven, whose wife of the seven is she? They didn't even believe in heaven, mind you, but they wanted Jesus to say something that would get him into trouble. Well, Jesus reflected for a moment, and he said, well, if I had been Jesus, I think I might have said something like, you would have thought by the time the fourth brother died, the rest of them would have thought twice about marrying her. But instead, Jesus reminds them that God is the God of the living, not of the dead. God is the God of the living and not of the dead. But instead, do you suppose they heard that? The question that he was asked was really inconsequential. They didn't believe there was even a heaven. But Jesus was saying to them that day, the question that is important, that which is the big stuff, is that God is the God of the living. Now, the Gospel of Mark has an account of this very same encounter, and he gets to the heart of Jesus' answer. After Jesus had silenced the Sadducees with his thoughtful response, Mark says this: one of the scribes came near him and heard them disputing with one another. And seeing that he had answered them well, he asked, what commandment is the first of all? You remember this. Jesus answered, the first is, hear, O Israel, our Lord God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. Then a scribe looked at him and said, you are right. That's the big stuff. The big stuff is to love God, to love neighbor as yourself. Jesus says to the Sadducee that there is only one big stuff in life. The essence of Jesus' message is that the overseers of the law had spent too much time on the minutiae of the law, turning two commandments, two basic important commandments, into over 600. Who cares who will be married to whom in heaven? It's about loving God and loving neighbor. As we all know, we live in a society that is more stressed out and has more anxiety than perhaps ever before. We have more medications and therapists and mental health counselors than any other time before. It's simplistic perhaps to say, but this depression, this rage, this anger, this violence is a byproduct, certainly, of many things. But maybe it's also a byproduct of the fact that we take little stuff and make it into big stuff. A society that proclaims you must have this and this and this, or you're deficient. To be happy, you need to have this trinket or that title or this victory. And so we end up feeling insufficient because we don't have things that are not really necessary. Unlike many of the world, we who are living or near poverty, many of us are obsessed with seeing the big stuff that is really, really small stuff. A philosophy professor once stood before his class with some items on a table in front of him. When the class began, wordlessly, he picked up a very large and empty mayonnaise jar, and he proceeded to fill it with rocks about 2 inches in diameter. He then asked the students if the jar was full, and they looked at it and said, yes, it was. So then the professor picked up a box of pebbles, and he poured it into the jar, and he shook the jar lightly, and the pebbles, of course, rolled into those open areas between the rocks. He then again asked the students if the jar was full, and they said, of course it was. The professor picked up a box of sand, and he poured it into the jar, and of course the sand filled up the remaining open areas of the jar between the rocks and the pebbles He again asked, was it full? Now the professor says, I want you to recognize that this jar represents your life. The rocks are the important things, your family, your partner, your health, your children, things that if everything else was lost and only they remained, your life would still be full. The pebbles are the other things that matter, like your job, your house, your car. The sand is everything else, the small stuff. But if you put the sand into the jar first, there's no room for the pebbles or the rocks. If you spend all your time and energy on the small stuff, you'll never have room for things that are important to you. So pay attention to the things that are important. Play with your children. Take your partner out dancing. There will always be time to go to work, to clean the house, to give a dinner party, or to fix the garbage disposal. Take care of the rocks first, the things that really matter. When I read this text from Luke and think about the Sadducees' question and how it really didn't matter, that there were more important things to think about, I think of other questions that we might ask ourselves. What do I need rather than what do I want? How am I blessed rather than how am I shortchanged? How much of my life is concerned with the accumulating of stuff, and how much of my life is focused on building community with and caring for others? Do I spend more time considering what I don't have rather than what I do? What can I do to alleviate the worries of others who are facing hardships much greater than I could ever imagine? Am I more concerned with how I'm different from another person than how much I am similar? Love God. Love your neighbor. It's so simple, yet we make it so difficult. And the truth is that we find fulfillment that comes with fulfilling those two commandments. Theologian by the name of Richard Foster wrote this: our culture is plagued by a passion for possessions. The result is the lust for affluence in a contemporary society that becomes psychotic. We're hurried, we're breathless, we're worried. Christian simplicity frees us. People once again become more important than possessions. You've never met my youngest daughter, Ingrid. The congregation I served in Washington knew her in her teenage years. People would come to church there to find out what sort of outrageous hair Ingrid would wear on Sunday mornings. One week would be big hair, right out of the 90s. One week it would be short. One week it would be pink or purple or maybe a combination of the both. It drove me nuts. When the latest style appeared at the breakfast table, I closed my eyes and took a deep breath and tried not to let my opinion show. Somewhere I had learned that the big stuff was, and that beneath all that hair I loved her, and the small stuff was, well, it just didn't matter. Who's married to whom in heaven? Small stuff. What car do I drive? Smaller stuff. Driving a nail into wood and building a home for the poor, that's big stuff. What floral arrangement do we have at our weddings? Small stuff. Serving at a table in a soup kitchen, helping at God's love, spending the night with people from Family Promise, planting a garden to feed the poor, that's big stuff. And I wonder whether Jesus would really worry about how many cookies the children were eating at coffee hour. I think I know the answer. Join me in a word of prayer. Ever giving, ever generous God, pour out your Spirit upon us so that we might be wise in our discernment of what is small stuff and big stuff. We pray that we'll keep our passion for loving you and our neighbor far above our love for everything else. Holy Spirit, come, take possession of our hearts. Amen.